What is up, college and career conquerors? My name is Mr. Perez, and I am the host for the College and Career Center podcast. And I am super excited today because we got some special guests, and they are from the University of Texas at Austin. Yeah, so let's go ahead and introduce yourselves, guys.
Hi, everyone. I'm Victoria Regalado. I am an admissions counselor here at UT. I just graduated from UT Austin as well in December, but I am really excited to be here.
Hello, everyone. My name is Brandon Besses. I serve as director for our Central Texas admissions team here at UT Austin. I am also at Texas X, so a little bit further away. I graduated in 2018 with a degree in exercise science, and then I got a master's of education in 2020.
Okay, look at y'all. All right, so... Students, we are going to talk about everything UT today. We're going to talk about the admissions process. We're going to talk about applications. We're going to talk about what seniors should be doing right now. And we're going to talk about all of it. I really wanted to design this episode so you are aware of how to get into UT and how to start the process of becoming a freshman in college in 2020. What year are we in? 2024, right?
Yeah.
We're going to 2024. See, I'm getting old. I feel like the years just keep coming and everything. But besides the point, guys. All right. So my first question for you guys is, what is it like to be a Longhorn?
Okay, well, I don't even know where to start off here, but I would like to say that the Longhorn legacy is actually something that you'll carry forward with you for the rest of your life, pretty much. But basically, it's a community of Texas that, you know, is surrounded by you from the second you step on here and, you know, wherever you go after you graduate and whatnot and stuff like that. But really, we like to indulge in the Texas spirit here. And, you know, we are all wanting to transform lives for the benefit of society, as that is our core purpose.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I think being a Longhorn is a large sense of pride, a large sense of community, a large sense of accomplishment, and wanting to strive for your goals. I think back to my time, you know, starting off as a freshman and into the time that I graduated from the University of Texas, and how much growth I underwent in that time, right? How many lifelong relationships I garnered, you know, how many opportunities I had, whether that be study abroad, whether that be, you know, interning, whether just getting involved with like recreational sports, going to games. So I think really just that community and then lifelong networks. Right, like our Texas X's is a large and proud alumni network, and they're all over, right? There's chapters in every major city, all over the states, and even international as well. So I think you get all of that with being a Longhorn, right? And I'm always proud to throw the horns up.
okay. So tell us a little bit about the admissions process for the University of Texas, Brandon.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, there's a lot of dates in there that students will want to remember, of course. So our application is going to open up on August 1st. And so it's going to be available on Apply Texas and then also the Common Application. So really the only difference in those is we usually tell students kind of the schools you're applying to, right? Like if you're going to apply more towards Texas schools, you might, you know, lean towards Apply Texas. Whereas if you're applying to more schools across the country, then the Common App might be the place for you. So after the application opens, so you'll go on there. We have all of our required application materials that you need to fill out. And then we have a few deadlines that you might want to meet, so depending on what you're aiming for, right? So we have our October 15th is our priority deadline. So that priority deadline doesn't give students any advantages in the admissions process. They're all in the same pool of applicants. This just means that you're guaranteed to hear back from us sooner. And then we have our regular application deadline, which is going to be December 1st. So that's going to be for this, you know, upcoming year. So we're at the end of 2024 and those applying for admissions in fall 2025. So if you apply by that priority deadline, which is October 15th, we guarantee that you will hear back from us by January 15th. And then if you apply by December 1st, you're guaranteed to hear back from us by February 15th. Sorry, we changed the dates to cycle, so I was getting the fresh information. But yes, February 15th, if you apply by that regular admissions or application deadline, which is December 1st.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so guys, make sure to listen to that. The priority deadline has switched, correct? So
yes.
It's going to be October 15th and not November 1st, which is usually when it is.
Yes, correct.
So this upcoming cycle for the 2025-2026 school year, if you are trying to go priority, you need to have that. You need to have your application prepared by October 15th. That's a fun fact. See, I'm glad we did this.
Yes.
Okay. So What tips do you have for students when they are writing their essays and short answers? What do you look for in their essays?
Yeah, this is a great question. This is probably our, if I were to do FAQs going to events, this would probably be number one or two. So we get this question often for students. And I think where I always start off with this question is in having students understand kind of our admissions process, right? Our application process, and understanding that we do not conduct interviews, right? So if you look at your application materials, right, between that, you know, your transcript or your resume, like I said, all the different components of that, this is the only place where you really have a chance to speak, right, in the sense of writing down things in your essay and short answer. So I think the biggest thing I tell students here is, like, take that opportunity. And when we're reading that, we're looking for, like, why is this student, like, whether that's you telling us your story, whether we're, you know, I know they've expanded the prompt some this year, but what do we get out of that is, why is this student a good fit for UT, and why is UT a good fit for this student? Right. So I know a lot of times the literary term, when you're, like, you're in your English classes, you hear the term voice. So I think voice is usually the best way I'm able to describe that essay and short answer question. Right. Like, I don't, you know, your students might see, oh, why are you interested in, you know, engineering? I'm interested in engineering because I like math. Like, that's not going to do a lot for us. Like I said, we're not seeing, you know, why is that student interested in this? Why does the student want to pursue this? You know, what about this student's, you know, high school career or activities are all kind of feeding into their rationale, their why. So I think that's really the goal of essays and short answers, right? And people will then follow up and ask, like, oh, you know, any tips on what we should write about? And there's never a right path, right? We're not reading it for grammar. We're not reading it for punctuation. We're reading it for content, right? So I think really just a lot of effort put in towards that is really the best way to be successful, and just kind of understand, like, when we're reading this, like I said, we want to get a sense of you as a student, right? Like, we can see all the other things directly on paper. Like, we can see your grades, we can see your rank, you know, we can see what activities you're involved in. You can put a couple of lines on your resume, but, like, the essays and short answers where you get to write about who you are as a person, as a student, and why you would be a good fit for UT.
Awesome. Okay, so Victoria, I got a question for you. So, you know, when we talk about the application for the University of Texas, students are allowed to submit letters of recommendation. They're optional, but I always get my students to really do the letters of recommendation, mainly because I think it highlights them more as an individual. And so when we talk about a letter of recommendation, what should it look like and who should they ask?
That's a really great question. Just to reiterate what you said earlier, the letters of recommendation are completely optional. But for our students who do want to submit them, we actually asked that they submit no more than two, and also to provide letters from someone that's outside of their high school, right? Because we really want these letters of recommendation to give additional context or information to support your application, but from given information that's, you know, not already in your application, like your scores or whatever. So, you know, we really just want to see who you are outside of high school. So give us something from maybe your volunteer coordinator or something like that.
Okay, excellent. That means no letters of recommendation from Mr. Perez. For UT, at least. I'll write y'all letters of recommendation. But like she said, make sure you do somebody outside the high school that you are applying to. You know what I'm saying? Excellent. So, next question I have, and this one's going to be for you, Brandon. You know, a lot of universities have tuition promises for low-income students, and I noticed that you guys have a tuition promise as well. Can you talk a little bit about the Texas Advanced Commitment?
Yes, of course. So, yeah, our Texas Advanced Commitment, it was instituted a few years ago. I'm losing the exact year right now, but it's basically our promise to middle- and low-income families, right, that we don't want to leave college in tons and tons of debt, and also in our commitment to making it affordable for those families as well. So the way that the Texas Advanced Commitment works is it is a tuition promise for students. So anybody's family who has an adjusted gross income of $65,000 or lower has a full tuition promise. So we're guaranteeing that through your financial aid, it will be your tuition will be fully covered for your time at the University of Texas. And it is a program that basically every year you have to meet the qualifications, again, right? So every year they're going to look at your FAFSA information and then also making sure that you're staying on your basically, you know, satisfactory academic progress. And as long as you keep meeting those things, it will keep being addressed for you that tuition promise throughout your years in the University of Texas. And then we also have a partial tuition assistance for those making $125,000 or less, right? So if your family makes that adjusted gross income or below at the $125,000 mark, we do guarantee some tuition support. So it's not a guaranteed full like the $65,000 threshold, but we do guarantee that students will get some financial assistance from the university towards their tuition.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so one thing that I wanted to talk about when it comes to the Texas Advanced Commitment is that after FAFSA. So is it already guaranteed, or does the Pell Grant have to be applied and then you'll cover? Because I know a lot of universities do that.
Yes, great question. Yeah, so this is students always make sure you submit your FAFSA when it opens. The earlier, the better as well. And usually we will communicate what we call a priority deadlines for that, right? And so that's just a date we really tell everyone to try to aim for, because this is going to make sure that you're eligible for the most amount of aid, right? Because what happens is universities, you know, not just ourselves, they begin awarding aid, you know, usually come the spring semester. There's going to be a point, like I said, aid starts going out. So you know, you can always submit your FAFSA even if it's after that deadline. But at a certain point, like I said, once money starts getting allocated, you want to make sure that you're in there to be eligible for the largest amount. So that's one part. But yeah, so going back to your question. So the Texas Advanced Commitment will fill gaps, essentially, right? So if you say you come have a full ride scholarship, or you have, you know, lots of grants that are able to cover that, we would just basically make up that difference in that, right? And then maybe if you don't have a lot of scholarships or grants, then that difference is going to be larger, right? So then the university will give you an award that covers all of that. So it's going to depend on your whole financial aid package. But at the end of the day, the goal is that you will not have any tuition to worry about if you're at that $65,000 level, and then if up to $125,000, you will get some tuition support towards that.
Okay, cool, cool. All right, so my next question for you guys is, what are some organizations at UT that can support first-generation college students? Victoria, do you want to take that one?
Yes, I can do that one. So we have First Gen Longhorns, which is this really big campus community for first-gen students. And, you know, they really want to help them through, like, comprehensive layering of academic, social, and professional experiences through, like, workshops, but also providing them resources and events that they can go to. We also have the First Generation Living Learning Community, which we like to call the LLCs. Students can choose to be housed with other fellow first-gen students. And it provides first-year Longhorns with access to a network of first-gen peers, but also faculty and staff, so they can better themselves academically and socially and really get integrated into the university environment. We also have field trips and stuff, and faculty and alumni panels and workshops for them available through that as well. UT also offers 3,000 scholarships to current and incoming students, including scholarships specifically for first-gen students. And for first-gen Longhorns who want to study abroad, or first-gen undergraduates who are, you know, interested in that, are actually encouraged to apply for the Texas Global First Abroad Scholarship. This is a one-time scholarship, but it also awards 25 students with $3,000 to fund a credit-bearing or experiential learning opportunity abroad. And Longhorns of any academic year are actually encouraged to apply for the Gilman International Scholarship Program, and it provides students who have been historically underrepresented in education abroad with financial support as they study languages and intern in diverse world regions. You can also follow First Gen Longhorns on Instagram. They have some really good resources there and really good connections through that as well. And the First Gen Welcome event is actually an event that takes place during the Longhorn Welcome, and it allows our first years and new transfer students to connect with their peers and familiarize themselves with campus resources and really take part in UT culture and traditions.
Okay, cool, cool. Also, y'all know guys, they have fraternities and sororities that also support first-generation students as well. And they also have, like, organizations like the Divine Nine. I believe y'all have Divine Nine chapters on campus, right?
We do. I'm actually a member.
Oh, what?
So I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, the Epsilon Iota chapter. So I was a member, you know, during my time at University of Texas at Austin, through my sophomore, junior, and senior year. And I'm still very involved with the brothers on campus. So, like I said, it's a really great resource for students all across the board, right? And then we have, I think, 6 different councils as well.
Excellent, excellent. So there is an abundance of resources at the University of Texas. They have so many resources, guys. So for my UT students who are planning on going there next year, or who plan on applying there, just take that in consideration. Like, so many different things that you can do. Next question, though. Brandon, Can you talk about the 6% policy at the University of Texas?
Yes, of course. So what the top 6% policy is, this is basically guaranteeing automatic admissions for students, right? So I know a lot through Texas, or through the state of Texas, that is, students might hear of or have seen the top 10% policy. So for University of Texas, that is going to be top 6%. So what this means for students is basically if you're in the top 6% of your class at your high school, and this is determined by your transcript at the end of your junior year, right? So you know, when you finish your junior year, that's your transcript that you'll be submitting when you apply to university, because those are all the grades that are going to be final. So on that transcript, if you fall in the top 6% of ranking high schools, so this is also another important, right? So we know some schools don't rank, some schools, you know, they might, you know, maybe be a private school. So any school that doesn't rank won't meet this policy. This is going to be for ranking high schools, and the rank must be either officially on your official transcript or through an official letter from, you know, a counselor or your school. So anybody who falls in that will be automatically admitted to the university. Biggest thing to note here is the automatic admission does not mean you're automatically in your major of choice. So your application and what you're putting your best foot forward is still going to make a huge difference no matter if you're automatically admitted or not. Because for every student, no matter what, we're going to use a holistic review process. So what this holistic review process means is that even for the students who fall in this top 6%, we're still going to be looking at every aspect of your application to make a decision on your major, right? So you'll have like a first and second choice major, and we'll still go through that process as well. So like I said, we always tell students, don't just throw something on because you know you're automatically in, because you're not automatically in your major. And the last point I'll make here is this is 6.000000%, right? So we have students, if you're in the 6.17, you know, 6.55, that would not qualify for our automatic admissions policy. So like I said, 6.00 and then lower. So, you know, if you're in the fives, fours, threes, two, one, then you'll be automatically admissible to the University of Texas.
Okay, great, great. All right, so now that we talked about the 6%, Victoria, I want you to take this question.
Okay.
If a student isn't in the top 6% of their class, but still wants to apply to UT, how can they make their application better?
Okay, so you're wondering, like, what can you do to stand out? Well, I mean, back to those letters of recommendations or your extracurriculars or your jobs, whatever it may be, we just want to see, like, okay, well, what did you do with your time in high school or outside and stuff like that? That way we could just make an accurate decision on your desired major, and, you know, we really want to see if you will make a good fit within our institution. And again, we use that individualized holistic review as part of our decision process, so every application is considered individually and in relation to, you know, the admission factors for the university as well as the college or the school and major that you are applying to.
Okay, great, great. And like I said, guys, just because you're not in the top 6% of your class, it doesn't mean that you're not going to get into UT. It just means that you got to put a little bit more extra love in your application. You know, you got to highlight yourself, highlight your leadership qualities. That's what I always say. Put a little bit of that love in that application. And you know what? Who cares? Like, at the end of the day, you won't know until you try. But yeah, so next question is, UT has brought back their ACT and SAT scores. What is a good SAT and ACT score for that a student should aim for? And then do you know any resources that could help students like study or tips for them to take their exam when they do take the exam?
Yes, great question, Ricky. So yes, that is something that we have brought back for this cycle. So like I said, we do require test scores, again, for all the students out there who, you know, you might have known someone, you know, in the past few years when we've been test optional. That question, like I said, we get it a lot as well. There is no specific score that we would tell students to aim for, nor is there a minimum score. This being, as you've heard me and Victoria talk about in the last few answers, because of our holistic review process, right? So your scores are just one component of your application, and we're looking at everything in the application equally when you submit it to us, right? So that's your test scores, that's your, if you do submit, you know, any other optional items, that's your essays, that's your short answers, that's your resume, if you want to have an extended resume. Like I said, everything that you submit to us is going to be considered for your application. Right. And then, like I said, we often will publish kind of, you know, what an average score looks like for like the last class and things like that. But we also don't want students to feel discouraged if they see that number and they're like, oh, I haven't met it yet, or I'm right near it. Like I said, yes, this is an average of the profile of the last class, but this is not anything that one, there's no one single factor in application that will make you automatically unadmissible. Right. Outside of the only guarantee is the automatic admit students. But outside of that, like I said, it's not going to be like, You automatically would cancel your chance to university just because maybe your score is not where you like it, right? So, like I said, there's no number that we have that we share with students because, like I said, there is none. Like I said, there's not a number we tell them to aim for. There's not a number that's a minimum. There's not a number that's like, oh, if you don't hit this threshold, you're not going to be in. Really, just like that, just take those tests and you know do your best job on them. And one thing about tests, we also don't super score, so students are aware of that. So we're going to take your best sitting as your score that we consider, right? So if you sit for the ACT two times, but you know you have different scores in the different sections, whichever one has the highest cumulative score is the one that we will consider for your application. So I just wanna make sure that students understand that as well. Then I think for the question on resources, so we understand too, like this is gonna look different for all students, right? Like some students might have access to different resources that others, you know, might not. So maybe, you know, look around, like, are there any test prep going on, right? Like, do you have any teachers who maybe can assist, or are there any, you know, free materials online? Your counselors are also great resources on campus. So like I said, we don't have any official that we have or that we share with students, like I said, because we know it could vary across, you know, the state and even the country as well. But really just making sure you're asking around, right? I know when I was studying for my test, I was able to get some free resources from those that were older than me, right? And that was really helpful for me. Had a few practice tests in there, and there's so much online now, y'all. So like I said, really just the Google, the internet is your best friend for that. And I think it's really helpful, especially as I know the test has evolved over the last few years as well.
Great. So thank you for that, Brandon. And I think I want to turn the conversation a little bit from admission from students who are applying that are seniors. I want to take it to student or to seniors who are actually planning on going to the university, who are committing. So Victoria, I'm going to ask you this question. What should seniors who have been admitted at UT and are planning on going, what should they be doing right at this moment?
First and foremost, I think they should definitely accept their admissions offer and satisfy that enrollment deposit. This year, as we know, as FAFSA is delayed a little bit, so we have a third option. If you're waiting to accept your admissions offer because of financial aid, you can go into your My Status and fill out the form and submit that. But you want to make sure to extend that to June 1st by May 1st. So like you'll go in, fill out the form, say that you're waiting for your financial aid to decide. You want to get that form in by May 1st to extend it to June 1st. After that, though, you want to probably apply for housing if you haven't already. You want to sign your housing contract if you do plan on living in on campus. It's not required, but just really get familiar with, I guess, the different dorm halls and maybe the food options there as well. And you're also going to want to sign up for new student orientation. That is a big one because you'll finally meet your academic advisor there and you'll be able to register for classes. I know a lot of the earlier sessions had to fill up quick, but that does not mean that you won't get the classes you will need to fulfill your degree, right? You just might have to be a little bit more flexible on the times that you want to take the class. So you may end up having to take it earlier or later in the day and, you know, maybe with a different professor than you initially wanted, but you will get the classes you need to fulfill your degree requirements. And that is everything that I can think of right now. Brandon, am I missing anything?
Oh, I don't think so. Yeah, you did a great job covering that.
Yeah, you killed that. Okay, now let's talk about ACC. Okay, so at Del Valle High School, we actually have a lot of seniors who end up going to ACC, which is amazing. And a lot of them are actually going into the phases of transferring to a university. What does the process look like for students who are ACC and are planning on transferring to UT?
Okay, I actually did go to ACC first, and then I transferred into UT Austin for the rest of my college before I graduated, obviously. So what I did, I looked at UT like course schedules or like the degree plans for what I wanted, and I kind of matched the courses that I did at ACC with the courses that would be at UT. But mainly, though, I did a lot of, like, the general education courses, like the American history, the government, like the intro to psychology, stuff like that, before I got into the more specific ones. But I really wanted to make sure that I got, like, the core requirements done before I was eligible to transfer. And I know transferring in, you have to have at least 24 credits to transfer in. And, yeah, I guess just really explore the UT website and the degree plan. Because that's what I did. It was really helpful for me. And I also attended some, like, information sessions, like the transfer sessions, stuff like that. And those were also really, really helpful. UT is also very, like, credit friendly. So a lot of we also have this automated transfer equivalency form system that you can use. So, like, you can see at the community college or Texas college that year. It's only for Texas schools and universities, but you can put in the ACC course and you can see how it will transfer over to UT Austin. And that's also really great for when you're planning and registering at ACC and you're wanting to see if the course will be able to transfer over then. And, you know, it's also the same, like, application, essay, and stuff like that. You know, you just gotta believe that you're gonna succeed and do it. That's what I did. I was like, I'm gonna do it. I did it. I wrote what I, you know, what I felt would be good and how I thought I would want to represent myself for the university. And yeah.
I think that's awesome. I thank you for telling me your story, mainly because it's like, yo, like, if you want to start at a community college and then transfer to a university, I mean, look, we have somebody here who is going to the University of Texas, who graduated and now works at the University of Texas, and she made that possible. And for you guys, it's also possible for you if that's something that you want. So, Victoria, thank you so much for telling us that story. And you also save money, right?
Yes. And my dad, he was the one who told me. He was like, because it was also during COVID, and so everything was kind of shut down, so I was also probably not going to experience, like, the full, like, college experience or whatever. So he was like, just go to community college. He's like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, because he did it, and my brothers did it, and they're all successful and stuff. But he was like, there's nothing wrong with that, and also, you're going to be saving a lot of money. And he was right.
That's awesome. Okay, so, let's talk about the culture at UT. What's the culture like? And then do you have any traditions that you guys want to talk about?
Oh, yes. Okay. So I like to say that we are really just a big burnt orange community, you know, and our motto is what starts here changes the world. So we really do want to see that also. But as far as, you know, traditions, we have lighting the tower after every notable award or even a big sports win. I think also jumping into the fountain after the, was it the Oklahoma, Alabama? I don't remember which game it was, but that was also, I think that just started. But we also have these really lucky albino squirrels. And the legend is that if you see one before a big exam or presentation, it guarantees that you will get an A on it, basically. And yeah, those are some of my favorites. What about you, Brandon?
Yeah, I think if I were to describe the culture at UT's campus, I feel like it's very collaborative, and I think also even like inspirational, inspirational in the sense of, I think when you enroll, right, you meet a group of people who y'all might have either similar goals or even people across different majors, you know, like even if your end goal is different, like your common denominator is, you know, success, you know, whether that be professional school, graduate school, going into your, right into your profession. And I think in that, like I said, you kind of feed off one another, right? So I know, like, if I saw my friends, like, oh, I'm going to a career fair today, and I see them dressed up in a suit, I'm like, I want to go to a career fair, you know? So either I go with them, right, or I'm looking for the one from my college, or I'm like, okay, I need to be putting more, you know, applications out. And you hear people with all these cool internships. Like, I think one of the coolest, I knew someone, they got one in Nike in undergrad. So they were up at Nike interning there, and they were like, oh yeah, we play basketball at lunch and we have this big campus and we get to come in, like, you know, Nike sweats, Nike shoes to work. And I was like, that's cool. Right. And so, like, when I say they were inspirational, it's like, I think that kind of motivates others around them. Right. And I think you're around all of these people who are, you know, usually you know, really great high school students who have transitioned to great college students, right? And that could mean, you know, a plethora of things, right? Like, that's just not always, like, strictly like, oh, I got all A's in this, right? So I think that's really what UT's campus feels like to me, right? And I think with that, oftentimes people might have this misconception that, like, there's this, you know, either, like, toxic competitiveness, right? But I think they're really, it's kind of the opposite, right? You kind of see each other and you all want to strive to be successful, right? You're all kind of pushing each other to be great at whatever that might be. And then I think that one of the traditions that we like to highlight is what's called Gone to Texas. So what Gone to Texas is when you first get to the university, so basically your first week on campus as a freshman, there's this huge event where all of the colleges and schools are invited, right? So you sit with the people in your college, right? So education sits with education, communication sits with communication. And then you go through kind of a ceremony. And at the ceremony, they're going to light the tower with your year in it. So for those this year, they're going to light it with UT28. Yeah, UT28, yeah, it's getting further and further away. they're going to write UT28. And then when you finish in actual 2028 and you're graduating at your commencement, they're going to light the tower with the same thing, right? So it's kind of a full circle moment that that students have, like I said, back to that sense of pride really with their community. And it's like, wow, like I did it. Like you accomplished it. You started here. You finished your degree. You know, you got your whatever, you know, job, you know, research, professional school lined up, and you see that 28 again, right? And you're like, yeah, we did it. And you look around, you hug each other, yell, you know, parents are around their family. So I think that's one of the best traditions there in that full circle moment.
Great. Actually, not me wanting to be a Longhorn now.
Come on.
I'm not even going to lie. Let me see. I'm a huge University of Texas volleyball fan. Die hard since 2009, Destiny Hooker. And yeah, huge shout out to Texas volleyball for being back to back NCAA champions.
Back to back.
But yeah, I love UT. I also like my alma mater, Texas Tech. So wreck 'em. anyways, all right. So we're almost done, guys. We have student questions and responses from you. So, one of my students asked, "What is the main feature they're looking for in a student?"
Yeah, I think I can take that one. So I think, and I know whoever they asked this, I'm like, oh, it's kind of like a generic answer. But I think, like I said, it also comes back to really that holistic review process we have, right? And while I know, like I said, you might hear that a lot, you know, whether coming to our events or even here today, but it is really what we all use for our determination of, you know, student applicants in our processes, right? And this, what we have to use, because every student is going to be different, right? And I think, for example, our last cycle, we had over 70,000 applications, right? And there's no way in that, you know, students were going to be looking for the exact same thing every single time. So like I said, I don't think there's any main feature. I think the one thing we always will tell them is that application, like I said, this is really the only thing we have for you, right? We don't have demonstrated interest. We don't have interviews. So your application to us is really all we have to go off of by when we're making that admissions decision. So really all those things, I know also Ricky mentioned earlier in Victoria. So the way I always say it is the more items you can submit, right, even the optional items, that gives us more opportunities to get a full sense of you as a student. So I think your goal should be by the end of your application, like when we start to when we finish, when we read about that student, that we can walk away saying, like, I feel like I understand why this student likes this or wants to do this or wants to come to university and why the university would be good for this student, right? And why, what you would add to our UT community. So I think that's the goal for students when you finish your application, is to, like, all right, whoever's reading this is going to understand why I want to be a Longhorn and why I'd be a great fit for the Longhorn community.
Great. So this is actually a question from my student, Kaylin Ruiz. Huge shout out to her. She's going to be a UT student and she, yeah. Welcome. She asks, what type of internship programs do y'all have, and specifically in business? Do y'all know any programs, or is it, like, what y'all got?
I know generally you can go on to HireU Texas. It's powered by Handshake. It just a lot of job postings and internship postings and stuff like that, and you can, like, filter your search for specifics, like, so if you wanted to look into business, you could definitely filter it for that. But we also have, like, the Career Center directory, and you can find, like, internships and jobs as well for your specific college and school. You could just Google UT Austin Career Engagements, and a lot of stuff would pop up with that. But I also, like, encourage you to, like, talk to your professors or engage with your peers who are also interested in doing the research, or maybe your professor might have some insight on where to look as well. That's all I have, but
Yeah, and I can add on to that, even more specifically than our large, you know, University of Texas Career Engagement Center. There's one within Macomb School of Business as well. That also extends to most of our colleges and schools on campus also. They usually have their own career, you know, engagement team that's there to help students with internships and jobs. So Macomb's is really one of the best and probably one of the best in the country at this. So students, basically, from the time you enroll and start your journey as a Macomb student through when you graduate, their goal is to get you all placed, you know, in a job in your field upon graduation, right? So tons of Macomb students are already, you know, experiencing this by the end of their, going into their senior year, because they've usually done an internship in that last summer. So the internships vary, you know, across all types of things, right? Whether that's like oil and gas you want to go into or technology. But what they do is they have career fairs every semester where different corporations, companies come out and they table. And often for Macomb, those ones are exclusive to business students. So in there, it's you and other business students going around, giving them your resume, talking to recruiters, and doing what you can to follow up to get an internship opportunity. And so I've never known a Macomb student to not get an internship opportunity. So like I said, they're very successful at what they do, and their career team is also helping you with that, right? So whether that's you come to their office, or you might see, it's a joke, the business students wear suits all the time because they're always doing this kind of career prep that you need to be successful. So that's going on all the time. And like I said, the internships are going to vary really on what you're looking for. So anytime you're in your undergraduate career, like I said, these opportunities are going on, and it really just kind of an opportunity to see what you like. So really do multiple, right? Like maybe you do it your sophomore and your junior summer, and you see, you know, kind of the different things you like in, you know, each field. You're like, oh, maybe I'm not feeling this, or maybe I really do love this, and then you end up going into that field full time.
Great. So next question is, does the teacher to student ratio affect the way students learn?
Okay, so it is a big school. We have like 50,000 students. So, but don't be alarmed though. Coming into your first year here, actually we have, at UT Austin, we have first year interest groups, and they actually consist of around 18 to 25 other first year students, so your peers. And within these same group of students, you're taking, I think, 2 to 4 classes alongside with them during your first fall semester here at UT. And each group also attends like a weekly seminar, which is also led by a peer mentor and a staff facilitator. And in your figs, you're also developing a sense of community because you're attending classes together, you're studying and participating in all the various activities and events with your mentor and your fellow first years. And definitely engaging with your classmates and your professors is actually really important. Brandon, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, only thing I'll add, like I said, it is a large school, but when the ratio breaks down, it ends up being an 18-to-1 student to faculty ratio. So that's going to be the same size or smaller than a lot of your high school classes right now. So I think with this one, you're going to have classes that are large, of course, right? Your intro to chemistry might have 300 to 400 students in it. That was one of my first classes I took. But then by the time I'm my senior year, you're in your major specific classes with people who are on the same track as you. My final class, biomechanics, had 11 students in it, right? So there's this range there. And even the best thing for the large classes is you also have what they call teaching assistants. So those teaching assistants are a way to make the class smaller, and it puts you into groups of usually like maybe like 10 to 20-ish students, and you have someone assigned to you to help you with things on the day-to-day, and then you have office hours as well. So office hours are required by every professor at the university, and this is a time where you go, your professor is basically like, I'm going to be available in my office for, you know, these hours during the week, every week, and you just go in there. So you ask them questions, you can talk to them about their research. Sometimes students just go in there and do homework, right? You go in there, that way if something pops up, your professor's right there to ask them, or you just get to know them, right? Because what do we all need? We need letters of recommendation at the end of the day, right? We need internship opportunities. We need research, volunteering opportunities. Like, and the professors have this, right? A lot of our professors are engaged in that type of thing. So office hours, we always recommend, like I said, even if you have the class all the way down, you don't need any help, just go there, right? So now you've got a professor that loves you, knows your face, knows you by name. And so you're not getting the template anymore when you ask for a letter of recommendation, but they can talk about you, the things you do outside of their classroom, and then why you would be good for whatever you're applying for.
Great. And you know what, guys? I think that wraps up everything. Do y'all have any final words?
I just want to say, I hope you're excited about the University of Texas at Austin. We're excited. As you see, we're both Texas. They couldn't get rid of us. So like I said, we love doing these type of things. And like I said, I really, the biggest thing for students who haven't applied yet, Ricky mentioned it earlier, put your app out there, right? Like, you never know the results of it. And like I said, we don't ever want students to get discouraged from what, you know, maybe some numbers that are online, because like I said, there is that holistic review process. So there is a chance for everyone at the university. And then those seniors, like I said, we hope that you'll commit to university. Like I said, especially if you believe it's a good fit for you. And then make sure that you're also utilizing us as a resource. So that's something I could have added on the question earlier, is reach out to us, right? You have counselors assigned to you. You have our general admissions line. You have regional centers, right? So we have, you know, Houston, Dallas, the Valley, and then our Central Texas Admission Center. So we are here to be a resource for you. And we don't ever want you to feel like you had something that was unanswered when you make your final decision. So make sure you have an informed decision by using us, reaching out to us. Get everything answered. We'll talk to you for an hour, 2 hours, whatever, as long as it takes to get your questions answered. We're here to talk to you. But yeah, that's all I have to say. So thank y'all for having us on, and hook 'em horns.
Victoria, do you have any final words?
I just want to say I back that up 100%. We are here to help with any and every question. Just reach out to us, you know, utilize your resources. And for the seniors incoming to UT Austin, get very familiar with the campus and the resources as well. You know, we just want to help y'all succeed in college, but also beyond, right? Hook 'em horns.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate you making the time to come and speak on the podcast. I know a lot of our students go to the University of Texas, and I think the information that you provided will be a good resource, not only for my students, but the whole entire Texas community, like Central, the whole Texas, whatever.
We're all over.
Yeah. So I really appreciate it, guys. And you know what? Thank you for tuning in, my college and career conquerors. And you have a great day, and let's conquer life together.